All right, everybody, welcome to another bucking episode of Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, a Survivor Cop podcast. We're talking about Season 34, Game Changers, Episode 10, which is called It Is Not a High Without a Low. This is a Night of the Living Geeks show. Go to notlg.com and check out other good shows. Go to patreon.com/notlg and support our show. Rate, review, subscribe, all those good things. My name's Andy. You can follow me at Jolly Andy. And Brian's not here, but Nick is.
Yes, I am.
What's your Twitter thing?
Oh, it's We Have Snacks.
Yeah, there we go. Man. Yeah.
Go. I didn't... Oh, ah, screw you.
Right away.
Yeah, first one right off the bat.
Damn.
I didn't hear where the name of the episode came from. It's Not a High Without a Low.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one either. I was like, but this is like the second one in a row with a really long title. I was like, what happened to the easy short ones?
Well, the previous one made sense because that was what the challenge was all about. This one, I don't know. My guess is maybe it was something that that Jeff said during the reward challenge. Maybe, I don't know.
Could be. It's usually not something Jeff says. But okay, let's start off a real conversation here. So.
Start you off with here's the real conversation, real talk.
Here's the debate. I feel like last episode worked out well because we got to debate about Andrea. How do you feel about Ceri? Because now
I love her.
This is what, like the fourth episode when there's not a lot of Ceri screen time. And I know a lot of people think if you're not on screen, you're doing something right. So is Ceri either a slow play master or at this point is she a goat?
No, she's always been slow play. Like,
but how slow is it before it's too late?
Oh, I don't know. Like, her first season, she was very slow, but it worked real well because no one expected her, and it was just a regular old season. Every other season she's been in since then, she's had that target on her back to start with, and so she's just laid low to keep herself safe to start off. And then, you know, she starts exerting influence. This season, though, as we were talking about last week, I'm a little worried because it's specifically called a game changer season. And if you're not doing really big moves, I don't know if the jury's going to vote for you. But I like what she's doing. She seems to be playing real well and getting ahead. And she is exerting influence. And hopefully they're catching on to that.
I mean, you can tell she's exerting influence because... So for reference, this is her fourth time playing. Three times of which she has made it to the loved ones episode. And there's not always a loved ones episode, but this is her third time making it to the loved ones. And she has never, ever won the loved ones challenge in all three of the chances she's done it. However, she is the first player ever to get the loved one reward three times.
Because everyone loves Ceri.
Yeah, so if you want the best indicator of her game, it's that she will never win the challenge, but she will always get the reward because people love her out there. But I'm wondering if that's enough because there are other players that people love out there. People liked Zeke quite a lot. People liked Ty quite a lot.
And they voted Zeke out. And Ty is going to stick around forever because he has 8 million immunity idols. I don't see what she's doing. She's not really doing anything wrong.
But this is the counter argument. Ty's name has come up, which means Ty is doing something, at least at some level, to get noticed. Ceri, to this point, which you could say you definitely can argue it's positive, has never had her name written down once. She didn't go to tribal at all before the merge, which is just a fluke. And since then, she's never, so this entire season, she's never had her name written down. She's never had a single vote against her. Now, I understand you get her out whenever, right? It's Ceri. She's never going to win the immunity. You can do it. But the fact that nobody ever writes your name down means that nobody perceives you as a threat, means that you're not playing the game. I mean, the only time we've seen her make a move and do something and build some strategy was when she connected with Michaela. We saw the fruits of that for an episode, maybe two, but since then, nothing.
I don't know. I think she's done pretty well. Like, considering she was an early... Well, here I am about to say, considering she was in danger early on and then she just never went to tribal council. So maybe she would have been voted out if they had lost the challenge early on. But that doesn't matter. That's a hypothetical. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, I actually don't know how that phrase ends.
I mean, yeah, you could say she's
beggars would eat. If witches were fishes, then beggars would eat. I don't know. I mean, but
that certainly is a valid thing too, because she plays a similar but opposite game to somebody like Sandra. Sandra's never going to win challenge, but Sandra is more of a bully.
Yeah. My I don't want to say it's a frustration. It was a sort of a wasted opportunity for her this time around, because the immunity challenge wasn't a puzzle. It wasn't physical. It was just endurance, and not even not even traditional endurance, like just hold on to this as long as you can. It was concentrate, because all they had to do was hold up a ball with two sticks, and there was like a little divot on each side of the ball, for one for each stick. And so it's really just a matter of pressure. And like, if you saw Michaela, she was holding it perfectly because she had the ball resting on her sticks, sort of at an angle. Everyone else was like, it's hard to describe over audio, but basically everyone else had their sticks like poking directly into it.
You know, Brad was trying to spear it from both sides.
Yeah, exactly. Try to spear
it the entire time.
And you saw, like, especially really early on, hella people tried that, and then they dropped almost immediately. Because as soon as one of your hands moves, the center of balance shifts, and then that thing flies out of your hands, and you're done.
And doing that takes a lot of strength, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I was really impressed that Brad managed to hold it for as long as he did and win by doing it, basically doing it the hard way. But, like, the thing is, though, this is a chance that Ceree could have used to win immunity and then start making a case for herself. But I think, actually, she was one of the first ones out.
Yeah, and I like the way Ceree plays. I love the fact that she has gone to this challenge. She's gotten to the loved ones three times and never won, but always gotten the reward. Such a great way to play the game, because it just means everybody loves you, regardless of your alliance. Because she's not particularly an ally with any one of those people.
Yeah, and it's because she has a good story, and you know maybe people will vote for her story. Because again, she's the person that shouldn't be out there, and yet here she is for game number four.
Yeah.
I looked up online, and apparently her game number three, she got voted out, like, fourth. This is game number three for her. She did not last very long in that season. Which, yeah. Anyway, but even then, like, she says, you know what, this is my son. I was supposed to go see him graduate, but I couldn't because of this. And so I love my kids so much, and, you know, she does. They all do, whatever. But it's a good story, and I don't know. I think she can make a good case for herself. It's, well,
they had a good interaction too.
Again, I say that. Well, no, I was gonna say again. I say that she can make a good case for herself, but this is her fourth time there. She's never actually had to make that final tribal council case for herself. She's never
that's true.
Forgotten all the way to the end. So I don't know. Maybe she gets to the end and freezes up. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm bringing up Ceree because at the which by the way, her interactions with her son are great, and I would love to see them in Blood versus Water 3.
Oh,
God. But
that would be pretty great. But I don't think she—I don't think she's going to be in a fifth season.
Yeah,
What was the season? The season called that had Russell's nephew. I think it was all like family members who had never played before. Family members. No, maybe it was just him. Never mind.
I think it was just him. I think he was the standout one there.
Yeah, because I was going to say that what would be a good idea for a season is if they did a season in which it's all relatives of previous players. But then, I guess that wouldn't really. Yeah, that's kind of like Blood versus Water, but without the water.
Monica would fuck that up. Know.
Yeah. Oh, you know, okay, so Monica, this was definitely not the person that I thought she was. Last season, there was a Monica. No, not last season. Second Chances, there was a Monica. And I swear it was her. This is definitely somebody I've never seen before, but man, she is locked in on this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, like, during that challenge, she hit the ground running. And, I'm glad Brad has the wherewithal to be like, I'm going to listen to her. Like, I know she doesn't have any context for what's going on out here, but she's played this game before, and I'm going to take whatever piece of advice I can.
She's a super fan. Like, I mean, he wasn't, what I kind of expected him to do was like, all right, that's cool, honey, but I mean, this is the first time I've seen you in like a month. How are you doing? And he's just like, nope, yeah, you're right. Michaela, we looked at her to flip. This is probably not going to work out. But man, yeah. No, I really liked all of the interactions between the family members. This was a really good loved ones. Well, I don't remember. Not the challenge, sorry. Let me try that again. This was a really good loved ones episode. Like, everyone was hella cool. I will tell you right now, I laughed my ass off when they introduced Ty's boyfriend, or I don't think they're married, so I'm not going to say husband. His significant other, anyway, Mark. Because if you remember, when he was out there, Ty named that chicken Mark. No wonder he wanted to keep that chicken alive for so long. That chicken was his boyfriend. And I know this is not humanly possible, but I like to pretend, my headcanon, he took that chicken home. That chicken somehow magically became a human being named Mark, and his boyfriend is the chicken anthropomorphized. Is that?
Didn't they confirm that Mark was dead? I think they confirmed that Mark was dead. That he had eaten someone alive. I think I could be wrong.
I would have eaten him too. Yeah. One of my other favorite things was when Sarah's boyfriend or husband, I think he is, comes out and everyone's like, damn, he's sexy. And then and Ty gives him this coy little wave and he waves back. I was like, oh, Ty.
Yeah, but like Ty, your significant other is right there.
Not yet. He doesn't know. Oh, okay. He doesn't know who's coming. Yeah.
In the slide.
So yeah, it was a good chat.
Nothing.
Oh, I genuinely didn't hear what you were saying. Sorry, that's okay. My bad. So it was a good challenge with good stakes and rewards, and you know, picking two people to go on the challenge with you is good because you know, you pick one and everyone's mad, but then when you pick two, everyone's super angry. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, the four people who didn't get the four people who didn't get picked all voted the same, but that's wrong, because the three of them voted for Sierra.
Yeah.
Which is fair, because Sierra, oh my god, she screwed this game up so badly.
Yeah.
This whole episode, like before the credits rolled, I knew she was gone, because the first thing that happens, you know, you have your 15-second commercial, because I'm watching it on cbs.com/survivor. You have your 15-second commercial, it loads up, and there she is, Sierra, just sitting there with Sarah and telling her, I have a legacy advantage. It's basically immunity, but I can only use it at 6. And I was like, well, she's gone now.
And she says, if I get voted out, I have to will it to somebody, and I promise I will will it to you. And I think Sarah's, I mean, Sierra's screwing up, but I think Sarah's also doing a really good job of playing the, me game. Cause how, in what world, Sierra can make that promise, but how in what world is Sarah the first one she tells over Brad, who's been a really close ally with her all game? And then when it comes to it at the end, how is Sarah the one she gives it to? How is it not Brad? How is it not somebody she's in a much tighter alliance with? I don't know how Sarah swung that. It's insane.
I know. It's crazy. Like, I understand why she told Sarah.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me, because she was Sierra is convinced of Brad's loyalty, but not quite convinced of Sarah's. So Sierra wanted to Sierra wanted to expose herself to Sarah. No, Sierra wanted to show some sign of loyalty, some sign of we're in this together, you and me, ride or die to the end. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, if you can't trust somebody, right? If you're like, oh, I don't know if they're that was a long way to say that. Jesus fucking Christ. Let me try that again. If you can't trust anybody, if you're not sure you can trust them, trust is a tough thing. If you don't have it, God, I hate myself sometimes. All right, for real. So, I mean, if you don't trust Sarah and you want to do something that's going to get her trust, it's okay to say, yeah, I have an idol. I have immunity. We are we're good. We're together. You don't have to tell her that it's a legacy. You don't have to tell her that if she gets voted off, it has to go to somebody still in the game. You don't have to. You especially don't have to tell her that she's the one who's going to get it, because yeah, that's a great thing to do, to tell them to show, hey, we're together. But at the same time, they could just as easily throw you under a bus, and sure enough, that's what happened.
Yeah, it took like one commercial break. Sierra tells Sarah, And then commercial break, and they come back. It's almost like right away. Sarah turns around and says, "Hey, Michaela, we should get out Sierra because she's got a legacy advantage.
Yeah.
And we should get her out before she can use it." And it's like, but Sarah never tells anybody about the willing it to somebody else or that it will go to Sarah. So Sarah sneakily uses it and then gets it. And probably everybody who she talked to about it thinks it's gone.
Exactly.
The only other season that had a legacy advantage was the Zeke season, which was last season.
Yeah.
Is there anybody from that season left in this? No, right?
Michaela.
Michaela, right. So Michaela could know.
She didn't make it to,
far. She didn't make it that far. But
also you're overlooking the fact, you're overlooking the fact that this last season, the Millennial versus Gen X season, aired and all of these people watched it.
Yeah.
So they all know how legacy advantages work.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, that's not an issue. Okay. The thing is, though, it's like, why would you do that? And also, like, okay, even that, right? Even that, let's just say that didn't happen.
You're going to commit to say all of that so that you build trust. But you don't actually have to do it.
Right, exactly. But moving on from that, the other big old mistake she makes, and I counted three mistakes, but I got so hot writing about them that in our notes that I forgot what the third one was, and I didn't want to look back. But this was another huge one where she has gotten some level of trust and bond with Michaela after the reward challenge. You know, they're all of them sitting in the pool, That's called the ocean pool. They're sitting there and relaxing and saying, you know what, there's four of us here. If we can get one more person, we're good. We should get out Andrea, because Andrea's the one who's going to win this game.
And
Michaela straight up says, yes, she has a good chance. But Michaela straight up says, all right, we got the numbers. Don't worry about it. Calm down. Just don't do anything to mess up the numbers, and you're good. Otherwise, there's a good chance you're going to go home. Maybe she didn't say that last part, but I don't know. I would say I felt it, but then, as I said, like, as soon as this episode started, I was sure she was gone, so it could be confirmation bias. But regardless, she says, hey, you just don't mess with the numbers, and we're going to be fine. And what does she do immediately afterwards? She messes with the numbers. She tells Sarah, I think they're going for Andrea. Oh, my God. Don't do that.
I mean,
all right.
It's building up last week, too. Like, last week, Sierra went to Sarah and said, tell me who to vote for, and I'll do it. So yeah. Sierra's trying to build a bond with a new alliance because she knows her old plan is gone. So she's trying to come up with a new plan and build a new alliance or get in with a new group, at least. So I kind of understand where she's coming from, but she's seriously overcommitted to that idea.
Right. It's just I want her to do well, but, man, she – talk about fumbling it at the one-yard line. Like, I mean, if she could just chill out. Like, everyone says, oh, Michaela, she's going to blow her stack. And maybe she does get mad. But gameplay-wise, she holds on to her shit. She is good. Sierra, she may be calm and not confrontational. But as soon as things go wrong, she doesn't flip out. But she makes mistakes like this.
Mm-hmm.
She was so close. And then just, whoopsie-daisy, gone.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because her high point in the season was when she was working so closely with Brad and they had a majority alliance, and after that got broken up, Brad was just screwed, but Brad is calm.
Well, in fairness, Brad can win immunity, and he has the potential for it, but she just hasn't done it. And so, to be fair to Brad, he's won two of them, in fact. So
Sierra's competitive too, and she could win. I mean, not like I don't think she's as much of a shoo-in as Brad, but she can do all right.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
She did okay in this one.
Hold on a second, buddy. Sorry, give me a second. I'm gonna kiss my wife goodnight.
No, that's fine. That gives me a chance to get some fresh air.
Okay.
Ugh, get out from under this blanket.
All right. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did we leave off?
I don't remember. If there sounds like there was a weird, awkward break just now, I'm going to leave this in. Sounds like there was a weird, awkward break. We took a slight detour and kind of forgot where we were. So
let me bring it back to something we kind of mentioned, because I think it was a good low-key moment of gameplay. So Sierra makes all these promises, right, and tells Sarah all this stuff. But at the end of the episode, she gets voted out 6-3. And I don't know how you don't think that Sarah had something to do with it, but Sierra still wills the legacy advantage to Sarah. And she tells afterwards that, like, as soon as you get voted out, there's a little table and you have to write down the name of the person you're giving it to. So it's like immediate turnaround. And there's probably not enough time to think about what happened. So if you watch, as Sierra is walking away, she looks back and Sarah gives her a, "What the fuck? I'm so surprised" look. And I think that's what
sells
it.
Sarah has a really good poker face.
And I think that's what sells it getting to her. Because if you take 10 seconds to think about it, if you're Sierra, you'll know Sarah voted for you. And just the thought to even have the look of, "I don't know what just happened," that's what gets her to actually get the legacy message over somebody like Brad. And I like it because Sierra catches that, but Sierra doesn't see Aubrey and Andrea both catching the "what the fuck I'm shocked" face and giving back a "bitch please" face. But that little play is what's going to get her immunity in week 6.
That's why I'm hoping. Wait, no, not week 6. When there's 6 left.
Yeah. Sorry.
So that, how many are, were there 9 this week?
Yes.
So 8, 7, 6. So she has to survive 2 more in order to get it to work. Hopefully, because who owns Sarah?
I do. I own Officer Sarah.
You do. Oh, so you want it to last as long as you can.
Yeah.
But man, so okay, here's the thing. I could very easily see her winning, and if she does, she deserves it. But I'm not excited about her winning, because it's hard for me to explain, because I like her, but she isn't interesting or exciting, is my problem. And so it sounds so bitchy almost to just say, "I hope she doesn't win just because she's not interesting." It's like, meh.
Well, no, I mean,
I just want to see pretty much anyone but her win.
I mean,
maybe not Troyzan.
I think this is what I was saying last week, or the week before, when I was kind of saying that the show has been a little bit bland after the merge. At this point, all of these people left are solid, non-flashy, slow players. Suri's a slow play. Andrea does some flashy things. She's won a challenge every week since the merge, every episode since the merge. That is pretty showy, but in terms of like gamesmanship, she's just a solid, dependable player. And her big move was to get out Zeke, who everybody recognizes as a threat. So it's not a big, "Oh my God, this is amazing" move, right? Since the merge, Brad has been an alliance that got shattered, and he's sat back since then and let his name cool off. Michaela's a flashy person, but she's not doing much. And Michaela identified that as her problem with her game in a confession, is that she was saying she was talking to somebody. Everybody is telling her what to do, and she's not calling those shots. And so as much as I like watching Michaela, as a player, she's not doing much. Officer Sarah is doing a lot, but it's just like regular gamesmanship. There's nothing innovative or flashy to watch here. And then there's Aubrey and Troyzan. Aubrey's like almost cut out of this season, and Troyzan's pretty much irrelevant too. The only person that's interesting to watch from a kind of perspective is Ty, and that's the will he won't he play his idol.
Or also the will he won't he say something completely stupid.
Which he also hasn't done for a while. Like, Ty has gotten a short shrift at it too, quite a bit.
Well, like last week when he and Troyzan were talking to each other, filling each other out for idols, he did not say anything, which was exactly what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that I appreciated it at the time for what it was, because it was somebody making a smart, smart play. Yay, motorcycles. It was somebody making a smart, smart play, but it's not flashy, not showy. It's just kind of a subtle thing, which you can appreciate, but you can't. Like, if you walked up to someone on the street and said, like, "Look at this thing that he did. It was so subtle and cool," they'd just be like, Not really.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to go watch Big Brother now.
It's odd because the season is full of good gamesmanship, but it's not necessarily making for good television.
This is a very textbook season, I think is the best way to describe it. Like, it's definitely not bad. It's a good season. I'm enjoying it. But it isn't as fun. That's not even true, because there are really great moments in it. Like, Ty and Mark, or
Michaela's mom.
Sari's mom. Michaela's mother.
Yes.
Who was fantastic, and she can be my mother any day.
Calm your ass down.
Go, Michaela! And she was leaving. Oh, she's wonderful. There were some neat little moments in it, and then seeing Sierra's game implode in slow motion was pretty impressive. But it's just, it feels like it feels like a very textbook by the numbers. This is who we're going to go for. We got this person. They're gone. There were only a couple very early big old twists. I'm hoping, I'm hoping that because we have so many idols in play still, that the last couple episodes are going to be crazy as all hell. But I don't know. And based on the last couple, good season, but not a very interesting season to talk about, because people are just making good, simple plays.
And it's so sad, because you know it's exactly the opposite of what the showrunners wanted. Like, they made a game-changer season and brought on people who they thought had done flashy stuff before, and the flashiest of them are gone, more or less, and all that's left are the subtle, slow players.
To play devil's advocate, though, this has been there have been some pretty big game-changing moments in here, because there was a six-person alliance? Was there a larger one than that when they first merged?
No, it was the big six.
No. Yeah, it was the big six, and there were a couple of threes and, smaller groups.
Yeah.
And those smaller groups managed to mob up and get rid of Haley, and then Haley was gone and got replaced by someone in that big six. And then that big six has been losing constantly, despite having the unification and the numbers. And so that actually has been a game changer, and that's largely because of Sarah. But again, she's not
Andrea.
She's so
I'll always throw
Andrea's name. You're right. It's a combination of Sarah and Andrea, because it was Sarah this week and it was Andrea last week, and at least I think it was Andrea last week. Doesn't matter. So we have been seeing some impressive stuff. It's just that because everyone in this game is a game changer, and they are a person who understands this is just a game, it's something personal, when, a close ally gets voted out like that, they don't go insane. You know what I mean? Yeah. They just take it on the chin and move on to the next thing. Like, the closest we saw was when Andrea and Zeke went to war. And that was, again, something that made perfect sense, because Andrea saw Zeke as a threat, saw that he was going to do what he could to get her out, get her ally out, and then just took him out. It was a very short fight, but it was an interesting fight.
That's the big criticism on these All-Star seasons, right? Like, Survivor has a problem where most of the time their All-Star seasons are kind of boring, the exception being Heroes vs. Villains.
First All-Star season, that was really good.
Yeah, but that's because it was a new concept then, too, so there's something exciting about that.
Yeah.
I mean, with those exceptions, All-Stars and returning players are generally kind of dull, either because as a returning player in a non-All-Star season, they get picked out and picked off, or in that role, they're also maybe they're too familiar with the game and they want to slow play and they get far, but then get voted off anyway. And in All-Star seasons, everybody's been here before. And like you're saying, nobody flies off the handle because they've had it happen to them before. The trauma is not as close. I think that's why Michaela is still fun to watch, because the trauma is still close for her. She hasn't had years to ruminate and figure it out. Even the other people who played relatively recently, like Aubrey, I mean, Aubrey did all right for herself. she'll be okay.
Did all right for herself, and she has great facial reactions. Like, so you can tell she's feeling these things, but she's not letting it seep out, because she is a good game player. So she's not gonna piss someone off by with her reaction. She will instead just double guns Debbie behind her back and then go talk to someone else.
And I do want to fess up. I do feel a bit of a hypocrite because I remember early in the season when the show was doing a lot of, oh my god, it's a twist kind of things, I had a legitimate concern that, you know, I was going to get burned out on that. On the, oh my god, it's a twist.
And I think, now we kind of wish there was another twist.
Yeah, I had that concern because the gameplay was interesting enough. With Sandra, with all these players who are around pre-merge, the gameplay itself was interesting enough that the show didn't need those twists. And now that we're after the merge, the show needs them. But
yeah.
I, at the same time, I totally get, like, now as after the merge, the real quote-unquote real game is on. So, you know, back off a little bit, let the players play. But the exciting players are gone and there's no twists, and so we're just kind of here. And I think you're right, it's also probably a part of the fact there's 5 immunities and tricks out there right now. Yeah, 5.
Yeah.
And that's gonna come whiz bang near the end because they're all holding onto them to the last possible second, which is smart gameplay, but it's making the in-between time pretty dull.
Hopefully, next week. How do I want to put it? My hope is that it's a slow burn to a big explosion. You know, like a powder keg with a long trail of powder. And once we get there, holy cow, what's going to happen? But in the meantime, like I said, this episode, we knew who was gone pretty much as soon as it started. And whatever they... I give the editors credit. Like, they were... It seemed very obvious that Sierra was going to go, so they decided to put other storylines in there and really focus in on the loved one challenge, almost double down on that as their main draw. So they did a good job with this episode. It wasn't a bad one, but, I mean, really, what else is there to say?
So I'm hopeful also because next week, we get the next week on, and this is why I started off the show with this, it shows Suri going to war. And Suri trying to make a move, which is great because it's not typical Suri. Well, I guess it is. It's wait and then make a move. I'm interested to see who she's going to go to battle with. Because the reaction was, oh my god! So I'm interested.
Well, so like I said at some point before when I made that that Avatar reference, Suri really is an earthbender. She looks for the one... She waits for her moment and then punches as hard as she can and makes things change. And I think this is when she's been harnessing her chi this entire time, and it's going to, hopefully, it could completely backfire and she could get voted out. But hopefully, whatever she's cooking up when she says, can I make this work? Like, I'm hoping that's that indicates her not just saving Michaela, but also getting somebody else out. Like, maybe an Andrea, somebody that's we have earmarked as, you know, a definite winner. So hopefully that's what she can do. I just don't know.
I feel like...
If I knew more about Avatar, it's been so long since I've seen it, I would now try and compare each one to what type of bender they are, but I can't remember. That makes me feel so bad.
I feel like...
That's a wasted opportunity. That would be a great bit.
That'd be a good segment. I feel like Cerise probably gunning for Andrea or Brad, possibly Officer Sarah.
If she can get Sarah out, that would be excellent. Because Andrea she says things, you know what I mean? At the very least, she says these things in confessional, and she explains her strategy. Sarah just kind of does the stuff, and then you can tell she's a cop. You know what I mean? Cops have a certain way of talking where it's just kind of like, this is what happened. She says everything like it's an incident report, which is very, very good and clinical, and it's a great thing that it's a great skill that has put her in a position where she might win $1 million, but it's not exactly that interesting.
Yeah, I feel like Andrea's going to have a target because there's no special tie between Serena and Andrea. Brad, they connected before when Brad opened up on that beach that time. Suri and Brad connected on level, but that doesn't commit you. And especially if Brad continues to compete in challenges and continues to be a threat, he's somebody that could make it down the line, especially if you don't know how many idols are out there. I mean, I don't think Ty has not told anybody about his idols. Troy Zan hasn't told anybody, but Troizan hasn't told anybody about his idols. Officer Sarah has told anybody? She told somebody last episode about her stealing a vote. Actually, right. I think she told Sierra.
Oh, yes. No, she told Ceree.
That's right.
Ceree was not bucking a trend. That's a phrase, but it's not the right phrase. Ceree was trying to feel out getting Sarah to vote out, I think it was Andrea. And Sarah read that as Ceree doesn't trust me all that much, so I'm going to show her that everything is okay. And that's why she mentioned the advantage that she has.
Yeah, I don't think Ceree would gun for Aubrey or Troizan at this point. If she's going to try and make that big move to unsettle everything, there's no reason to go there. Also, there's not much of a reason to go Ty. People write Ty's name down every once in a while. They see him as a challenge. They see him as a generally untrustworthy guy, so I don't think he's somebody you have to target in that way. Which might just be me hoping so, because like, I don't want Ty to get close to the end and just fuck everything up with his idols. I want him to get to the last possible opportunity and save someone else. I would love that. I would love it if he could be like, I want this person to go with me to the end.
I don't think he has any interest in doing that, unless.
I mean, you have to do something like that if you want to garner votes. Because at this point, Ty hasn't done enough to win $1 million. And he has to pull some shit. Like, some of these players have to pull some shit out of their ass if they want a chance to make a case.
Here's the problem, though. All right, and I agree with you. But we are presupposing that these players on the jury are going to vote along those lines. You know, they're going to vote along the what gameplay decisions did you make lines. The people still in the game, that is, know each other way, way better than we do. So maybe they know that, like, this person is going to vote just for whoever they like the most. So I don't know. I think maybe there's more to it than that. He might be able to just coast off of goodwill, and they're like, come on, guys, I'm Ty. You should vote for me. I'm a good guy. Ty's a guy.
No, but I think Ty has learned from his previous experiences just a little bit. Like, that's him not telling anyone about his idols. Because last time he told people about idols and the whole super idol thing happened, he threw shit out the window. And that really backfired on him. So I think he's learned not to do that. I think he's learned from his mistakes. And I think he probably realizes, and he's told us as much in confessionals, that he knows his mistake is that he can't speak well. Especially under pressure and especially in tribal. He's told us that he is bad at this game. So, I mean, I would love to say he can just get to the end and make a case of tribal, like, hey, everybody liked me, everybody likes Ty, right? Like, but that's not going to win you $1 million. You're not going to win $1 million by getting there and saying, hey, everybody loves me, huh? That doesn't do it. Especially in the returning player season. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Some people will vote for, I like this person, people like Debbie, but people like Haley will appreciate good gameplay. People like Zeke will vote for good gameplay. I think there's way more people after the merge who will vote for good gameplay than will vote for a dead fish who just made it to the end because people liked it. So I think Ty will recognize that. I hope he will, because he knows he has to know he has to do something. Anyway, do we want to get to the votes? Or not the votes. Do we want to get to fantasy?
Yeah, let's go to that, because as we said, there wasn't a whole lot to say about this episode beyond Sierra. Why? I love you, but why?
Zeke's shirt game is on point. Nice tropical look there, bro. That was good.
That's like all he wears. That guy is a walking Tommy Bahamas.
I fucking love it.
The
other thing I'll bring up is Andrea, I think, her flaw, and she highlights it here, not on purpose, though, in a confessional, is that she takes her allies for granted. She says in the confessional, we'll give Michaela a day, she'll be over it, and we'll be back when Michaela's super pissed. I'm like, yeah, not really.
Yeah, no. Except that's exactly what happened, unfortunately. Like, Michaela's still mad, but she's on board with them when it comes to voting, so in a way, Michaela... Like, that's... I think we were talking about how this is kind of a little bit of a slow season, and I think that's it, because even though it would make perfect sense for Michaela to flip and throw everything out the window, she stuck to it. Now, granted, mainly she stuck to it because Sierra screwed up so badly, it's like, well, you know what, I can't have this loose cannon. I think that's the main reason that Michaela ended up voting and getting Sierra out there. Not the whole legacy thing, but it was just when she found out that Sierra was telling Sarah, we're all going to vote for Aubrey. Nope. We're all going to vote for Andrea. She's like, all right, I'm done. Because if you recall, just before that, she'd said, all right, don't do anything to screw with the numbers and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And she screwed with the numbers and she was not fine. So I believe that's the case. But yeah, all right, let's go on to fantasy.
We have a bet out that Sarah will fuck up.
See how badly I'm doing.
We have a bet out there that Sarah will fuck up her swing vote. Nick and Brian said that she won't, and I said that she would. That I made that bet before Officer Sarah was on my team. So either way, I get points. I guess that's the way to look at it. Brian came into the weekend first with 82 because he has a team of Suri, Andrea, and Brad. Brad got him 5 points this episode for winning both challenges and surviving individual tribal. Andrea gets him 3 for going on the reward and surviving tribal. And Suri gets him 3 for going on the reward and surviving tribal. So he had an 11-point week added on to his 82. And 11 is a lot at this stage in the game. So he's sitting pretty at 93, which is quite a haul of points this early on in the season. I came into the week at 68. I got 1 from Michaela and Ty each for doing nothing more than surviving tribal. And I have 3 from Officer Sarah because she went on the reward and survived individual tribal. Nick, buddy.
I got nothing.
You came in tied with me with 68 points. Now. Yeah, you got 1 point from Troy Zan for just going to tribal and living. You got 3 from Aubrey because Aubrey went on the reward and survived tribal as well, but you got a fat 0 from Sierra, so you only got 4 added on to your 68, giving you 72. You finally caught up to me in a distant second, just in time to start falling behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a good run, and unfortunately, that's not sustainable. My Corsi was unsustainably high.
Yeah, so I feel like I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if either one of us has had a chance to catch up to Brian.
He's 20 points up. We are pretty much done at this point, unless it really does go like Andrea, then Brad, then Suri.
Yeah, it's got to go boom, boom, boom to get Brian out of this.
And even that, oh Jesus God, at that, like, he could really lose a player each round for the next 3 episodes, and might, because we're so far behind, he might still win.
Well, you do, I will say, and give myself hope, players get points now this season. We made this change during the off season. The players get points when they play a legacy item or play an immunity idol. So I'm sitting on 4 of those. I got points in the bank, so long as those players don't go out that week. So
if Ty goes out next week, that's it.
Yeah, that'd be it for me. So I have a shot in hell of catching up. I don't think you do, though. I'm sorry, buddy.
No, I'm pretty much out of it, because I only have 2 players now.
Yeah, neither one of them are challenge beasts, which is what gets you points. So it's
nor will either one of them possibly win.
Yeah, and winning the game is only 5 points, so...
I will take those 5.
I mean, this is the other thing. Is that at this point, if you or I have the winner on our team, it might not matter. Brian might still win.
Yeah.
I think that's how... I think this would happen 2 seasons ago for me.
All 3 of his players I could see winning, too, is an issue that we will have to deal with.
Oh, no. Officer Sarah wins this. I don't think she should win. I don't like that she's going to win. I have other players I like better, but just watching the show and looking at the edit, I don't know. It looks real clear that Officer Sarah is building a case.
I mean, I agree with you that I would prefer pretty much anyone else, but I just want to be completely clear that if she wins, she so earned it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not flashy, it's not great television, but she totally earned it. She did yeoman's work and just... You know, in hockey, they got the thing, you know, they do the blue-collar hockey where you just show up and you grind it out, and that's what she did. This is a blue-collar win for sure, if she gets that far.
Yeah. We'll see. No ads drops, because there's nobody on the waiver wire.
There's nobody left, yeah.
Nick, you're just moving forward with 2 players now on your team instead of the regular 3.
Yep. Sucks to be me.
Yeah, let's hope this fixes, and let's hope Brian stops getting so many fucking points. Like, I understand Andrea getting him a bunch of points because she's won a challenge every week, but goddamn, 5 from Brad, and even Suri won a challenge for him this week. Not won a challenge, but got on the reward. It's just, you can't gain any ground here. He just keeps pulling away. It's rough.
Yep. Dogs and cats living together. It is Mass Pandemonium.
Yeah. In case you're unfamiliar, this is our fifth season doing the show and our fifth time playing fantasy, and Brian has been in a distant last all of the four other seasons. So
It has been 5 seasons since we wished on that monkey's paw.
It is Brian's time. He is due. So I don't begrudge him too much, but goddamn it, I still wanted to win. Anyway, that's it for this week, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we did good.
Yeah. All right. Butts.
We done good. Why is that in the notes?
Okay.
All right. Well, we will see everyone next week then, when we hopefully talk about Sierra beating the shit out of somebody and saving Michaela at the same time, making a game-changing change of the game that causes her to win $1 million. Because, you know what? I am a mark for Suri.
All right. Peace out.
Have fun. Bye. Yay.